The Daily Grind, Chapter 6. "No, ma'am, I don't think I can help you with that." James' voice was strained as he spoke into his headset. It was about 2:30 in the morning. His shift was almost over, and somehow the main source of his stress was not sneaking his roommate into the building, or the possibly lethal adventure they were about to go on, but instead, someone who didn't understand what a warranty was. He nodded sagely, despite the caller not being able to see, as she let loose a verbal assault that could probably have injured him more than any exploding coffee pot ever would, if he'd really been listening. "Yes, ma'am, I understand the problem." He took a deep breath, kept his voice level as his supervisor walked by. Now would be the wrong time to snap. "But?" He trailed off as Anesh plopped a duffel bag down in his cubicle and sat himself down in another swivel chair that he pulled over. "But we..." "One minute, ma'am, let me check something." He looked up at Anesh's wide grin and mouthed, "What are you doing here?" as he typed some nonsense on the keyboard for the benefit of the caller. Anesh just grinned and leaned back. "Oh, the front desk guy let me in. I said I was your ride home, and then we talked about Star Wars for 5 minutes. How's your night going? You got a call?" He leaned over and started reading the screen. In his head, James started screaming. What if his supervisor came back? What if he got fired for this? Out loud, though, he cut off the torrent of angry being yelled down the customer's phone and simply said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, if you took your phone in the shower just to see what would happen, then it is both intentional and water damage, and neither of those are covered by warranty. I would be happy to help you find a local repair shop, but..." The sound of his enemy hanging up was one of the best things he'd ever heard. "Okay," he said, pulling off the headset. "The call log is empty, so I've got a minute. Why are you here early? What about the plan?" He half looked at Anesh as he typed up the after-call report. Now spinning casually in the chair, his roommate replied, "I figured I'd get here early, and the plan was bollocks. I'm not sneaking in the fire escape when I can just ask politely and be let in the front door." James' boss chose that moment to walk back to his own cubicle, and as James' heart leapt into his chest, Anesh just gave him a polite nod. "Ah, you found your friend. Good," his boss said, and got a thank you and a thumbs up from Anesh. "How did you get my boss to let you in? He's always kind of awful to me," James asked. In his head, all he could see as a profile of the man was a series of inconveniences and petty threats. Anesh just laughed. "Oh, it was pretty easy. I asked nicely. When he mentioned that you annoyed him, I laughed and did that thing where I failed to disagree so he'd think I was on his side. Works on everyone." "Wait, have you done that to me?" James asked. "Does that seem like the kind of thing I do to a friend?" James narrowed his eyes at his roommate. "Okay, now see, that was... Oh, you're screwing with me. Okay, got it." This got a laugh, which turned back into a laugh from him as well. The two of them spent the last 20 minutes while James was on the clock, making light conversation, complaining about their job and school, and pointedly not at all discussing the breach in reality they were planning on diving through within the hour. Finally, after what seemed like forever to James, his shift ended, he clocked out, and then they had to spend another half hour dicking around in the break room before the two of them headed for the stairs. "Okay," James said as the two of them stood at the heavy security doors. "I know we kind of have a plan, but just so we're clear, we can leave whenever, got it? Like, we're not saving the world. The stakes have never been lower. We don't need to push ourselves." Anesh snorted. "Yes, yes, the stakes have never been lower. The stakes are on the floor. Now come on, I want to see this. I'm still not totally convinced this isn't just the most elaborate practical joke ever." James checked his watch, smiled, and stepped forward, pushing open the big, heavy door to show his friend a vision of... stairs. "You bloody wanker! I knew it! You were fucking with me!" Anesh looked torn between uncontrollable laughter and uncontrollable punching James repeatedly. Now laughing his ass off at the reaction, James pulled the door closed. "Nah, it's real." He opened it again, this time showing standardized beige cubicles that faded into the mist of the horizon, and too many hallway turns before they could see where they started to mutate into different geometry. "I just really wanted to see the look on your face when I did that." If the look on Anesh's face was priceless when he thought he was being pranked, James was certain the look now was even more valuable than that. His mouth was actually hanging open, which James was pretty sure was only a sitcom thing until now. He went in first, doing a quick check around for anything hostile. Anesh followed him in, staring around at this new world. It was very beige, Anesh thought. Cubicle after cubicle, the ones here near the entrance only had walls going up to about his chest, so he could clearly see over them, and the area he could see, well, it went on for a long time. There were a lot of hallways, and a lot of desks and chairs and cubes. How big is this place? He whispered to James. Pretty fucking big, James replied. Haven't found the other side yet, like I said, but yeah, seeing it is probably different than being told. Also, you don't have to whisper, but keep your voice low. I shouted once and a few hundred of the stapler things came after me. We need a better name for them than stapler things, Anesh replied as the two of them dragged a desk out into the open near the door. They plopped their duffel bags down onto it, and as James unzipped his and pulled out his crowbar, he said, Look, they're staplers, and they're constantly angry. I don't really know why you want a clever name there.
How about Hatlers? Anesh offered as he opened his own bag.
No. James pulled out the two-way radios, clipped one to his belt, and handed the other over. Stapleters, because they're kind of like spiders, right? Anesh started unloading a set of football padding from his bag, and then a second set next to it for his friend. Denied, James said. The last thing to come out for him was a decent-quality hunting knife that he'd bought at their local sporting goods eternal going-out-of-business-for-real-this-time sale. He strapped it to his belt while Anesh was pulling his own crowbar out. Well, I'm out of ideas, Anesh said. A couple of light backpacks came out finally. They'd leave the duffel bags here for now, and instead wear these, which they could more easily port around. The two of them started pulling on the football pads, checking straps and making sure they were comfortable. I know you're out of ideas. That's why I'm calling them stapler things. All right, ready? Oh, goodness no. But I'm also intensely curious, Anesh replied. Lead on, Macduff. James noted with some interest that the signposts he'd made were still up. He gestured to Anesh about this, who made a small note on it for later. Then the two of them, geared up and ready for anything, hearts beating a mile a minute, took their first steps together into the maze. With two people, active looting went a lot faster. They'd spot a cubicle that looked like it had something worth anything, and one of them would stand guard while the other went through drawers and coat pockets. Much to James' dismay, the stuff along the path he'd followed last time was still stripped bare where he'd looted. So Anesh made them a supplementary signpost, and they diverted a couple of hallways left. Their plan didn't call for getting all the way to the break room anyway, so they didn't need to keep track of that. Periodically, Anesh would ask James for a moment to stop while he sketched out a rough map of their path so far. This, too, was something they'd planned on, so James would stand sentinel, keeping an eye out for anything hostile, while his partner drew. So far, they'd been here for about half an hour, and hadn't run into anything more dangerous than a flickering fluorescent light, which, to be fair, had startled them both enough that Anesh had almost brained James with a flailing crowbar, and then they'd added helmets to their list of things they needed. I'm beginning to think you scared everything away, Anesh whispered as they came to another almost empty three-way intersection. This one happened to have a vending machine and a potted plant in it. Maybe, but at least we're getting decent mundane stuff. Also, I'm super curious what this vending machine has, and I bet you are too, because I've seen you eat one of every single candy bar we've found. Baby things are delicious. I don't understand why we don't have these in the real world, Anesh responded as the pair approached the machine. It was tall. By this point in their journey, they were well into the territory where the cubicle walls were overhead height, and this machine was, perhaps intentionally, exactly as tall as the surrounding walls. It was one of the old-style ones, too, with the big plastic dome buttons and a cash slot that would probably only take the most pristine of $1 bills. Drinks, read the big red and yellow glowing text on the front. James took custody of the notepad with the map on it to get an idea of how far in they were, while Anesh started looking over the options. From the map, and judging by how tired his feet were, they were 26 rows in. Each row averaged about 10 cubes, which put them about 4 times the length of his actual office building inside this office building. James' head hurt just thinking about that, but he shook it off. As he was about to turn back and tell Anesh they should consider turning around for today, his friend spoke. Dude, check this out. Looking over, he saw Anesh running his finger down the row of buttons. What? No, really. Watch. Anesh pulled his hand away and then moved his finger to the first button, as if to select it. Then he moved it down to the next one. Then the next. James watched, curious, as Anesh repeated this process about 30 times, each time moving down one spot to a new drink button, each time covering space, and each time there was always more below. We found a non-Euclidean vending machine, Anesh said. Oh man, that's trippy. And also, there's no way in hell I'm drinking anything out of her. James was cut off abruptly as something wrapped around his ankle and yanked hard. Anesh was yelling something he didn't hear as his head slammed into the floor. Had it not just had the thoughts knocked out of him, he would have definitely doubled down on the helmets idea. As it was, it took most of his effort to kick his leg and look down to see what was trying to kill him. It was the potted plant. They'd both zeroed in on the drinks, and he'd personally gotten complacent since they hadn't run into anything, and James had thought that maybe with the two of them it'd be fine. But no, they'd ignored the plant. It was mostly his fault, since he was the one with experience here, and now it had ambushed him and was slamming him into the floor with a rather long vine that trailed out of it, and now into the nearby cubicle wall, which he impacted with the corner of his shoulder. This thing was far stronger than he'd expected. Anesh wasn't standing idle, though. After a brief pause to fully process the fact that his roommate was being murdered by vegetation, he took a big step forward and brought his own crowbar down in the middle of the plant's mass. One of the big frond leaves broke off, and one of the smaller vines bent in half, but the rest of it didn't seem bothered. The main body stopped brutalizing James for a minute, and brought a couple of side vines up to slap at Anesh. The hits had enough force that the one he ducked under bowed in the front of the vending machine. The second one caught him on the right arm guard he raised, and Anesh felt the whole of his left arm turn into a mushy bruise in an instant of painful impact. Swinging wildly with the crowbar, he landed hit after hit on the thing's trunk and vines, snapping off leaves and twigs before a weaving vine caught the arm and slapped the weapon away from him. James wasn't wasting the reprieve, though. He wasn't sure where his own crowbar went, but he had that knife, and he yanked it out, grabbed a handful of vine, and started sawing through it. The plant thrashed, but it only took him a few seconds, and his leg was free. Dropping the knife, he lunged for his crowbar, and, lying prone on the ground, started slamming it into the ceramic pot itself. It cracked on the first hit, spiderwebbed on the second, and James punched a gloved fist into it to drag away chunks of pot and fake dirt. Inside, instead of more dirt or more plant, there was just a single glowing red orb with a black slit down the middle, almost like a malicious eye. It turned to stare at him as soon as it was exposed. He was about to smash it when a pair of vines grabbed his legs again and flung him back down the hall. To do that, though, they'd have to stop their dance with Anesh, and he'd seen what James was doing. Grabbing the one vine still on him, he took a half step back, lined up, and kicked as hard as he could into that hole, jabbing with his foot in a move that would make his fourth grade martial arts teacher furious, but a move that still worked. He felt something wet and sticky ooze into his boot, and the vines and leaves suddenly fell flat. "Holy shit, are you okay?" was the first thing James could say as he caught his breath and stood back up. Anesh looked at him. "Am I okay? Are you okay? You got thrown into a wall!" "The pads are surprisingly good. I owe you whatever not having a cracked rib is worth. But dude, you're bleeding. Here, get away from the fucking thing. I think the leaves are sharp." Anesh hadn't noticed it, but he was bleeding. A long, shallow line right above his left eyebrow. The blood started dripping around his eye, tickling and feeling generally awful, as soon as James mentioned it. Looking at him, James could only think that the blood looked more like oil as it tinted against his darker skin. It took him several tries and a few furious rounds of blinking before he could think straight enough to pull out their medical gear and help Anesh clean and bandage the wound. "Okay, well, that was different," James said. "Is it always like this?" Anesh asked. "I didn't really like the part where I got hit and cut all that much," he hissed as James applied disinfectant. "Don't worry, this next part is a whole hell of a lot better." James pointed over the plant's now shattered pot. As they watched, a palm-sized golden orb manifested, followed by three more smaller ones. That's also different, James smiled. Okay, you feeling good to go? We should get out of here before anything that heard that comes looking for us. I think we're well past the easy stuff territory. Yeah, I'm good. You want to grab the things? My bag is full of candy. James sighed. You know, you could at least pretend like you weren't here just for the food. Anesh grinned back. Let me tell you, I am entirely here for the food. But yes, also because I'm secretly hoping for one of these to give me a full calculus course or something. Skip a few years of my master's degree. Overachiever. Nerd. I will not apologize. James stood up, shouldering his pack, now slightly more full of mass and far more full of value. Hey, on the way out, I want to try something. You good for one more fight? They trekked back to near the entrance, and at one of the cubicles, James held up a hand to stop them. Okay, so see the PC under the desk? He pointed, and Anesh nodded in understanding. Both of them slipped into the cubicle, took up positions with their crowbars, and at James' nod, brought them into the sides of the computer together. James, Anesh said after a lengthy pause. Ah, yes, good friend? The response from James was tinted with embarrassment. Anesh looked at the pile of scrap on the floor. James, how many of these computers in here are actually alive and hostile? Well, the good news is, we now know the answer is not all of them. He shrugged in an exaggerated fashion. One sigh later, and after convincing Anesh that tonight was not the best time to start checking on the computers for if they'd be worth taking, they made it back to their base. Okay, Anesh said in a more relaxed voice as they crossed the imaginary line between inside the battlefield and safe. I was going to suggest we leave our stuff here, but I'm reconsidering that right now. Why's that? James asked. Well, do you remember bringing a stapler with us? Anesh pointed with his crowbar at the piece of office equipment sitting next to one of the large duffel bags. I'm going to take care of it. I want to see if these things are as bad as you say. Wait! James half yelled. That one's okay. I call him Rufus. He's got the different coloring, see? He walked over and casually picked up the stapler, which deployed its pen legs as he did so. It didn't lunge for him or struggle too much, though, so he put it up on his shoulder of his football pads, where it bumped its... snout? James wasn't sure what to call it. Snout. Into his cheek. See? He said. He's friendly. Anesh sighed and dropped the crowbar on the desk. I have no idea how you could so easily forget that not everything here is hostile. That raises a lot of ethical concerns, you know. Dude, I forget friends' names all the time. Don't tell me you're surprised I forgot that somebody wasn't mad at me. Fair. Now, do you want to pop these now or later? I have a few things I want to test, but I'm also really impatient right now. Anesh motioned to the skill orbs and their growing pile of loot as they sorted everything out. How about one of the small ones each, and we can save the others? Anesh nodded in agreement, and they each picked one up. I feel like we should have some sort of good luck prayer for this, James said. Ah, how about... Anesh, he cut him off. You are my friend, but if you tell me to get good, I am never bringing you back here. I'm out of ideas, Anesh said. Well, maybe we can just enjoy the experience. Anesh grinned. I can get behind that, and triggered his own small orb. In James' head, a voice informed him. Plus one skill rank. Programming. JavaScript. It was the best thing he'd ever heard.